Chapter 46. You will stay and dine with us? Apostrophe apostrophe said the former, rather with the air of being unhappily able to do no less than ask the question. My charges here won't go down to the table d'hote, I fear, but the Stancy and myself will be there. Apostrophe apostrophe, Somerset excused himself, and in a few minutes withdrew. At the door he looked round for an instant, and his eyes met Paula's. There was the same miles-off expression in hers that they had worn when he entered, but there was also a look of distressful inquiry, as if she were earnestly expecting him to say something more. This, of course, Somerset did not comprehend. Possibly she was clinging to a hope of some excuse for the message he was supposed to have sent, or for the other and more degrading matter. Anyhow, Somerset only bowed and went away. A moment after he had gone, Paula, impelled by something or other, crossed the room to the window. In a short time she saw his form in the broad street below, which he traversed obliquely to an opposite corner, his head somewhat bent, and his eyes on the ground. Before vanishing into the Ritterstrasse he turned his head, and glanced at the hotel windows, as if he knew that she was watching him. Then he disappeared, and the only real sign of emotion betrayed by Paula during the whole episode escaped her at this moment. It was a slight trembling of the lip, and a sigh so slowly breathed that scarce anybody could hear, scarcely even Charlotte, who was reclining on a couch, her face on her hand and her eyes downcast. Not more than 2 minutes had elapsed, when Mrs. Goodman came in with a manner of haste. You have returned, apostrophe said Mr. Power. Have you made your purchases? Apostrophe apostrophe, without answering, she asked, whom, of all people on earth, do you think I have met? Mr. Somerset. Has he been here? He passed me almost without speaking. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, he has been here, apostrophe said Paula. He is on the way from Genoa home, and called on business. Apostrophe apostrophe, you will have him here to dinner, of course? Apostrophe apostrophe, I asked him, apostrophe said Mr. Power, but he declined. Apostrophe, oh, that's unfortunate. Surely we could get him to come. You would like to have him here, would you not, Paula? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, indeed. I don't want him here, apostrophe said she. You don't? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe apostrophe, she said sharply. You used to like him well enough, anyhow, apostrophe bluntly rejoined Mrs. Goodman. Paula sedately. It is a mistake to suppose that I ever particularly liked the gentleman mentioned. Apostrophe apostrophe, then you are wrong, Mrs. Goodman, it seems, apostrophe said Mr. Power. Mrs. Goodman, who had been growing quietly indignant, notwithstanding a vigorous use of her fan, at this said, Fie, fie, Paula, you did like him. You said to me only a week or two ago that you should not at all object to marry him. Apostrophe apostrophe, it is a mistake, apostrophe repeated Paula calmly. I meant the other one of the two we were talking about. Apostrophe apostrophe, what, Captain de Stancy? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe apostrophe, knowing this to be a fiction, Mrs. Goodman made no remark, and hearing a slight noise behind, turned her head. Seeing her aunt's action, Paula also looked round. The door had been left ajar, and de Stancy was standing in the room. The last words of Mrs. Goodman, and Paula's reply, must have been quite audible to him. They looked at each other much, as if they had unexpectedly met at the altar, but after a momentary start Paula did not flinch from the position into which her pride had betrayed her. De Stancy bowed gracefully, and she merely walked to the furthest window, whither he followed her. I am eternally grateful to you for avowing that I have won favor in your sight at last, apostrophe he whispered. She acknowledged the remark with a somewhat reserved bearing. Really, I don't deserve your gratitude, apostrophe she said. I did not know you were there. Apostrophe apostrophe, I know you did not, that's why the avowal is so sweet to me. Can I take you at your word? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, I suppose. Apostrophe apostrophe, then your preference is the greatest honor that has ever fallen to my lot. It is enough. You accept me? Apostrophe, as a lover on probation no more. Apostrophe apostrophe, the conversation being carried on in low tones, Paula's uncle and aunt took it as a hint that their presence could be spared, and severally left the room, the former gladly, the latter with some vexation. Charlotte de Stancy followed. And to what am I indebted for this happy change? Apostrophe apostrophe, inquired de Stancy, as soon as they were alone. You shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, apostrophe she replied brusquely, and with tears in her eyes for one gone. You mistake my motive. I am like a reprieved criminal, and can scarcely believe the news. Apostrophe apostrophe, you shouldn't say that to me, or I shall begin to think I have been too kind, apostrophe she answered, some of the archness of her manner returning. Now, I know what you mean to say in answer, but I don't want to hear more at present, and whatever you do, don't fall into the mistake of supposing I have accepted you in any other sense than the way I say. If you don't like such a limitation, you can go away. I dare say I shall get over it. Apostrophe apostrophe, go away. Could I go away? But you are beginning to tease, and will soon punish me severely, so I will make my escape, while all is well. It would be presumptuous to expect more in one day. Apostrophe apostrophe, it would indeed, apostrophe said Paula, with her eyes on a bunch of flowers. Why? On leaving the hotel, Somerset's first impulse was to get out of sight of its windows, and his glance upward at perhaps not the tender significance that Paula imagined, the last look impelled by any such whiff of emotion having been the lingering one he bestowed upon her in passing out of the room. Unluckily for the prospects of this attachment, Paula's conduct towards him now, as a result of misrepresentation, had enough in common with her previous silence at Nice to make it not unreasonable as a further development of that silence. Moreover, her social position as a woman of wealth, always felt by Somerset as a perceptible bar to that full and free eagerness with which he would fain have approached her, rendered it impossible for him to return to the charge, ascertain the reason of her coldness, and dispel it by an explanation, without being suspected of mercenary objects. Continually does it happen that a genial willingness to bottle up affronts is set down to interested motives by those who do not know what generous conduct means. Had she occupied the financial position of Miss de Stancy, he would readily have persisted further, and, not improbably, have cleared up the cloud. Having no further interest in Carlsruhe, Somerset decided to leave by an evening train. The intervening hour he spent in wandering into the thick of the fair, where steam roundabouts, the proprietors of waxwork shows, and fancy stall keepers maintained a deafening din. The animated environment was better than silence, for it fostered in him an artificial indifference to the events that had just happened, an indifference which, though he too well knew it was only destined to be temporary, afforded a passive period wherein to store up strength that should enable him to withstand the wear and tear of regrets which would surely set in soon. It was the case with Somerset, as with others of his temperament, that he did not feel a blow of this sort immediately, and what often seemed like stoicism after misfortune was only the neutral numbness of transition from palpitating hope to assured wretchedness. He walked round and round the fair till all the exhibitors knew him by sight, and when the sun got low he turned into the herb crimson strass, now raked from end to end by ensaffroned rays of level light. Seeking his hotel, he dined there, and left by the evening train for Heidelberg. Heidelberg, with its romantic surroundings, was not precisely the place calculated to heal Somerset's wounded heart. He had known the town of yore, and his recollections of that period, when, unfettered in fancy, he had transferred to his sketchbook the fine Renaissance details of the Otto Heinrich's Bach, came back with unpleasant force. He knew of some carved caskets and other curious woodwork in the castle cellars, copies of which, being unobtainable by photographs, he had intended to make, if all went well, between Paula and himself. The zest for this was now well nigh over. But on awaking in the morning and looking up the valley towards the castle, and at the dark green height of the Knickstall alongside, he felt that to become vanquished by a passion, driven to suffer, fast, and pray in the dull pains and vapors of despised love, was a contingency not to be welcomed too readily. Thereupon he set himself to learn the sad science of renunciation, which everybody has to learn in his degree, either rebelling throughout the lesson, or, like Somerset, taking to it kindly by force of judgment. A more obstinate pupil might have altogether escaped the lesson in the present case by discovering its illegality. Resolving to persevere in the heretofore satisfactory paths of art, while life and faculties were left, though every instinct must proclaim that there would be no longer any collateral attraction in that pursuit, he went along under the trees of the Anlitch, and reached the castle vaults, in whose cool shades he spent the afternoon, working out his intentions with fair result. When he had strolled back to his hotel in the evening, the time was approaching for the table d'hôte. Having seated himself rather early, he spent the few minutes of waiting in looking over his pocketbook, and putting a few finishing touches to the afternoon performance, whilst the objects were fresh in his memory. Thus occupied, he was but dimly conscious of the customary rustle of dresses and pulling up of chairs by the crowd of other diners as they gathered around him. Serving began, and he put away his book and prepared for the meal. He had hardly done this when he became conscious that the person on his left H, and was not the typical cosmopolite with boundless hotel knowledge and irrelevant experiences that he was accustomed to find next him, but a face he recognized as that of a young man whom he had met and talked to at Stancy Castle garden party, whose name he had now forgotten. This young fellow was conversing with somebody on his left hand, no other personage than Paula herself. Next to Paula he beheld Destancy, and Destancy's sister beyond him. It was one of those gratuitous encounters which only happen to discarded lovers who have shown commendable stoicism under disappointment, as if on purpose to reopen and aggravate their wounds. It seemed as if the intervening traveler had met the other party by accident there and then. In a minute he turned and recognized Somerset, and by degrees the young men's cursory remarks to each other developed into a pretty regular conversation, interrupted only when he turned to speak to Paul on his left hand. "Your architectural advisor travels in your party. How very convenient," apostrophe said the young tourist to her. "Far pleasanter than having a medical attendant in one's train." Somerset, who had no distractions on the other side of him, could hear every word of this. He glanced at Paula. As he had not known of his presence in the room till now. Their eyes met for a second, and she bowed sedately. Somerset returned her bow, and her eyes were quickly withdrawn with scarcely visible confusion. "Mr. Somerset is not traveling with us," she said. "We have met by accident. Mr. Somerset came to me on business a little while ago. I must congratulate you on having put the castle into good hands," continued the enthusiastic young man. "I believe Mr. Somerset is quite competent," said Paula stiffly. To include Somerset in the conversation, the young man turned to him and added, "You carry on your work at the Castle Connemore, no doubt?" "There is work I should like better," said Somerset. "Indeed?" The frigidity of his manner seemed to set her at ease, by dispersing all fear of a scene. And alternate dialogues of this sort with the gentlemen in their midst were more or less continued by both Paula and Somerset till they rose from table. In the bustle of moving out, the two latter for one moment stood side by side. Miss Power, apostrophe said Somerset, in a low voice that was obscured by the rustle, you have nothing more to say to me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I think there is nothing more? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Paula, lifting her eyes with longing reticence. Then I take leave of you, and tender my best wishes, that you may have a pleasant time before you. Dot 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 I set out for England tonight. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a special photographer, no doubt. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was the first time that S.E. had addressed Somerset with a meaning distinctly bitter, and her remark, which had reference to the forged photograph, fell of course without its intended. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.